response in my life, that they would deliberately not answer, especially sponsors, would deliberately not answer the phone to push me to call other people. You know, and that's what I did. Because what it comes down to all the time is my willingness. What am I willing to do to stay clean? It's nobody else's responsibility. It says, we're not responsible for our disease, but we're responsible for our recovery, which means I have to do what I need to do to stay clean. And when I was beaten, I became willing to do that. When I came around, like, I didn't go to restaurants, I didn't go to bars, I didn't go to clubs, I didn't go to family weddings if they were serving alcohol. Like, I didn't go to a concert for 5 years getting clean because the concert was my thing. I, like, toured. I went from coast to coast. Like, I tried to find, like, my higher power through chemicals and parking lots from, you know, one coast to the other. And so for me, it was like I didn't go to shows. I don't understand these people that get, like, 30 days clean and then go on to go to fucking music festivals and, you know. Yeah. Like, you know. Okay, well, that's fine. But for me, no way. I mean, if there was a restaurant that had a bar connected to it, I wouldn't go to it for a long time. You know, I was like that serious about my recovery, and that was the stuff that was instant to me. But people weren't doing anything for me. They weren't, you know, I mean, like, if I asked, like, I have to ask. People met me halfway, I'll put it that way. Nobody carried me, nobody did it for me, but they met me halfway. And the thing that I get frustrated with and I struggle with the most is, like, people that ask me for help, but they won't meet me halfway. Or guys that I sponsor, and it turns out that I want it for them way more than they want it for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just know. I forget sometimes because I build relationships with people and I love them and I want them to be okay and I want them to understand the stuff that I understand, and there's no way that they can. But every time, if I pick up the pieces for them or I may give them a softer, easier choice or whatever, then I'm kind of denying them their part of this. I can't deny anybody their pain, because the pain is not only what got me here, but what's kept me here and has kept me growing over all this time, is my experiences of bumping my head and falling short and, like, constantly seeking my higher power's will for me. And, like, I can't, the guys I sponsor, like, I don't give them any answers. I don't definitively, like, put it in a box and just hand it to them. I'm like, no, all I do is point, like, maybe look over here, maybe look at this. Because they have to have their own realizations, and it's all about them. Tell them all the time, I'm in a position of servitude. I'm not here to control. I'm not your PO. I'm not your CO. I'm not your teacher. I'm none of that stuff. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you work the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. So when I look at carrying the message, I believe that, like, from the day we get here and make a decision to live this, we start carrying a message. We carry a message a lot of times of what to do, and a lot of times we carry a message of what not to do. You know, but I remember one time I was bouncing in and out of this thing, and I relapsed, I went back out, and I ran into a girl that I knew from recovery, and I ran into her at the dope man's house. And then years later, I got clean, and then she came back into recovery later on, and she told me, she said, you know, as serious as you were about recovery when I was there, when I saw you at the dope man's house, she said, for a long time, I lost total hope for me. And it kind of clarified to me, you know, like, some of our traditions, why it's so important that we don't publicly in press, radio, and film. We're not spokespeople for Narcotics Anonymous. But then I thought about this other time when there was a famous rock star who was real big in the other fellowship, and he was all talking about it, and then years later he relapsed. And I remember one day I was riding to work. I was, years clean. I'm riding to work, and they're talking about it on the radio. And the DJ said, "See, 12-step recovery doesn't work." Mm-hmm. And I thought about, wow, man, like, it's another message that he carried, you know, but not following those traditions. So, I don't know, man. I believe that our literature talks about the message and how we carry the message. In the 12th step, we talk about, like, all kinds of different ways to do it, like through sponsorship. I'm real big on H&I myself. I love H&I. Message was carried to me when I was locked up, so I'm passionate about going into, like, the jails and the prisons and the halfway houses and, no, not halfway houses, but rehabs, detoxes, whatever it might be. I love H&I. I love all of Narcotics Anonymous, but I'm real partial to H&I, and I carry the message that way. But for me, man, the most important thing, I believe, is that we carry the message like our literature says in the 12 steps, says in how we live. We carry the message in how we live. The example of how we live our life, because, like, there's a lot of people that can stand up in front of a room and they can talk about recovery very well.
And a lot of people, it's a gift. They can reach people and they can paint a picture, and that's awesome. But like, where the message is really carried is how we live our lives. Are we practicing these principles in our life? Are we trying to the best of our ability? You know, I think of the symbol all the time. Like, you know, goodwill. Am I practicing goodwill with my personal relationship with God, with society, with self, and with service? You know, that's how I get the balance and the high point of freedom. And the way that I live and the things that I do is how that I carry the message. And for me, it's about sharing myself, sharing my life openly and honestly. That's what it all comes down to. Like, when I'm suffering or struggling with something, like, I share it open and honestly. Doesn't mean I do a fifth step from the podium, but it means that I'm talking to somebody about what's going on, because that's the solution. It's the second step, simple stuff. So, like, if I'm living this program, then my light shines. That's how I see it. I see it as the steps clear away, all the stuff that we have in front of it. Like, it talks in the basic text about love being that transference of energy that takes place between us in the meeting. I believe in it. And the 11th step talks about the God in us. And I believe that inside of all of us is that God. Whatever concept you think that is or whatever, it's goodness. It's love. And it's inside of us. And like, the steps help me clear away all this, the baggage and issues and things that are blocking that light from my own realization and from everybody else. And that's what's attractive. When you clear that stuff away and that light shines, it's like a moth to a flame. You know, when I first got here, there were people that were like, I didn't know what they had, but there was something about them. They were just like, cool. Like, you know what I mean? They were even. They were like, that's all I wanted my whole life, to shut my brain off, to be in the moment and have a little bit of peace, to not be down on the block when my kids would talk to me, to be able to like hear what they're saying, not nod while my mind is somewhere else. I wanted that. I didn't know I wanted it, but I knew I didn't have it. You know? And when I think about it all the time, there were two things that I want, and I was just saying this to somebody, like, two things that I craved were peace and love. And that's exactly how I describe my life today. It's all about peace and love. And like, because of doing the work and facing trial after trial on this journey and like applying spiritual principles and leaning on the program and finding a way through it, I've been able to unclutter some things that were in front of that light. And so the message is like, well, the message of Narcotics Anonymous, as you know, is that an addict, any addict, you know, the addict who doesn't want to do any step work, the addict who thinks it is all bullshit, any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. The message is hope and the promise of freedom. And the only thing that I can do is be that message, the way that I live. Be that one. Live, you know, it says, if, like at the beginning of our reading, of how it works. If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, well, that's what I stand on. Like, this is what it is. This is, I'm about Narcotics Anonymous. I'm about the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. That's how I live my life. If you want what I have in my life, then this is what we do. If you don't want it and you're not willing to, that's okay. That's your choice. But I am not altering from what I'm about. And that is not about enabling. That is not about chasing you down. It's not running into a crack house. You know, when I got here, they had a term that said Captain Save-A-Ho. That was me. I put that suit on. You know, I did that numerous times. But that was my process. I had to be there in order to be here. I had to go through that and bang my head against the wall in order to find out that I was powerless over my own disease, but especially over somebody else's. You know what I mean? I've buried sponsees. I've buried people I love, all direct results of this disease, like over and over and over, man. When I first got here, they said, get a suit. They told me, get a suit. So I got a suit. I used to always refer to it as my wedding funeral defendant, because in recovery I needed it for all three. But I've wore it too many times, man. I've been to too many funerals. And lately, man, it's like every time I turn around, it's somebody else. About a month ago, I was going through my phone. And I was just going to clear out old numbers, and I started scrolling through, and I was like, person's dead, person's dead. Holy shit, I forgot that person's dead, which blew me away. Mm-hmm. That person's dead. I got to the end of my phone, and it crushed me for a day. Mm-hmm. I was so off my square because I didn't even realize in the years that I've been here, the multitude of people that have been in my life that have made those choices and are dead now because of it. It blew me away. Because it's just like writing a list, you know, when you do like a pro and con list or whatever. When you have it tangible in front of you, it's way different than just thinking about one or two things in your head. You know, and the thing is, like, carrying the message and not, like, I'm honest, man. Everybody knows, if you don't want the truth, don't ask me. You know, I ain't gonna stand up and like point it out across the room to you, but I'm not your guy if you want some bullshit. And the reason being behind that, my process in that, was that I had a guy I was sponsoring, a kid, and he was working for me too, and he was using. I knew he was using. And I didn't know what to do, and I'm like, I know this kid's using, but it doesn't make any sense. He's still writing on his steps. He's showing up to work. Like, who does that when they're doing dope? Like, it does, you know, it couldn't compute. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I went to predecessors. I went to my sponsor, and like, my sponsor said, well, that's between him and God. I'm like, okay. And I didn't say anything. And then I found myself looking at him in a box, talking to his family, you know, about what a good kid he was. And, you know, and I just like, I knew at that moment, like, I will never, ever fucking feel this again. You can like me, you can not like me or whatever. You can understand what love is and what love isn't. But if you do, I mean, people talk about I'm the asshole, I'm the mean guy, I'm the love guy. Whether you want to hear it or not, I mean, it's not, it all depends on where it's coming from and from me. You know what I mean? If it's coming from my heart with the intent to help, it's not wrong. Whether you like to hear what it is or not, I mean, that's not my fault. But I know I will never feel that again because co-signing a codependency kills people. Mm-hmm. This is not a disease that we fuck with. It ain't no joke. You know, it used to be, it seemed to me that like a while back it was drilled into me, and I heard it a lot more about life and death. This is life and death. Mm-hmm. We get here because we're facing life and death, and we stay here because we're still facing life and death. And so I don't know, man. Yeah, I love Narcotics Anonymous. I live Narcotics Anonymous. Like, it is the most important thing in my life, hands down. I love my kids. I love my job. I love my woman, but none of them comes before my program because it means that much to me. And the message that I carry is simply the result of my willingness and love that was given to me. I freely give it back. That's all I have. Back.
I would like to introduce our second speaker, Julie B.
This doesn't say where you're from.
Wednesday night, yeah. Living in Berwick.
All right.
I'm Julie. I'm an addict. The higher power that works in my life has a really, stuff works out the way it's supposed to work out, and it's really weird. They asked me this morning if I would speak on this topic, and they told me I was speaking with Dennis, and I was like, I just spoke with Dennis at the East Coast Convention. I got to go first that time. I could just say ditto with Dennis, and it'd be good. But the woman that was supposed to speak here is a friend of mine who we both go to this girl's house every Tuesday because she has three small children. And so we have a woman's meeting there every Tuesday at noon. And this Tuesday, when she came there at noon, she brought up this topic to get everybody's input. And then they asked me to speak on it when I got her. They didn't know that. So the power works in my life. Like, I really don't like topics because I don't... my brain is like a starburst, not like a line. Like, I'm everywhere at one time, and that's, you know, that's who I am. And if people that know me know that, that's who I am. I skip around topics so often, people are like, what are you talking about? Like, that's who I am. And I've gotten some self-acceptance with that. So topics are generally not good for me, because I am not linear at all. And before I get up here, I pray. And sometimes I end up balled up in pain. I generally cry. I don't feel like I'm going to cry today, which would be like the first time ever. But I'm in a pretty good space spiritually. So what I left Tuesday morning with, whenever she brought this topic up, and I was on my way home, with somebody who actively uses, that I take care of every Tuesday, that's my friend, was that, like, carrying the message and not the addict depends on my motivation for me. And that's really what it's about. If I'm helping somebody truly, you know, out of love, which is unconditional, then I'm not going to carry them. Even though I may do things for them that they could do for themselves, if I'm doing it from a place of love, I don't end up jacked up. And neither do they. But I want everybody to like me. And I've been like that my entire life. I stole a lot as a kid and would give things away. I stole to make friends. Like, I would steal money and give it to people, or steal things and give it away. That was my main motivator in life, was that, you know, people would like me, because I had so little self-acceptance that I needed other people to accept me desperately. And coming into recovery with that, I took on a lot of stuff, but my motivation was so that people would like me. It wasn't to help them. Like, a lot of people, I put a lot of time into them and pick them up for meetings and take them everywhere with me, and would end up pissed when they would use. It was like, do you not know how much time I put into this? Like, do you not respect the effort it takes me to do that? Like, what's wrong with you? The last time I stayed at this retreat, I stayed with two people who are currently using, and who at the time were, one of them was not currently using, but was out of her mind, and so was the other one. And I came up here with them, and I learned more about myself that weekend than I ever had at any other point in my recovery. I put a thing on Facebook the other day, and I don't remember who said it. It wasn't me. But it was like how I've learned, you know, tolerance from the intolerant, and kindness from the unkind. And yet, I am strangely ungrateful to these teachers. And that's really true, because I've learned about not carrying an addict from the takers. Like, one of my first sponsors told me that, like, givers sleep better and takers eat better, and that I needed to find a balance in those two things. And that stuck with me, because I am by nature a helper. I love people. I'm busy. I like to do things. So, you know, when I'm at camp, I'm rarely sitting still, and it's not, you know, I do stuff for other, like, I'm the person, if I see somebody who doesn't walk really great, I'll get up and get their coffee, I'll make them a plate. That's who I am. And I accept that about myself. You know, that's part of me that I like. I have a significant other that has, you know, health problems, and I don't have any problem with the work part of that. Like, I don't get resentments about making coffee in the morning and bringing it to him at all. It's something I like to do. But when you come up with people in here, and there is somebody who's a taker, like, I have often been left feeling taken advantage of. And they didn't take anything. I gave it. And, like, I had to own that about myself. Like, I wanted to be, I was such a martyr for such a long time. Like, I will give you my shoes and then resent you because I don't have any. Like, that's who I was. And I did that for a very long time, and it was some really hard lessons. And I'm going to talk about a couple of people, not by name or anything, but one of my first friends in recovery, I got clean with in rehab, and then she left rehab early and continued to use. And she did that for like 4 years. And she would call me periodically and need a shower. She brought a stolen truck to my house one time. And I made her park it down the street and walk back, take a shower. And I took her to rehab. And I don't even know how many times I took her. She just used again recently. Like, did more of her meds than she should have done and had to get a new clean day. But when I was at the World Convention, she had a year clean. And I remember sitting out there on the sidewalk and just crying. Because, like, this is somebody I, like, she would call me from the psych ward and I would take her cigarettes and Vaseline. And that's what I would do. And I don't know how many times. And I never stopped doing that. And was that, like, the... But my motivation for doing that was honestly selfless. She already liked me. And I knew she liked me, so I was cool with it. It wasn't somebody, like, I wasn't doing it so she would like me. I was doing it because she needed it. Because she didn't have anybody left. And that's how I came here. I knew it. See, I cry every time. I really hate this shit, people. Like, people that have been here a long time, is this shit ever going to stop? Because it's really annoying. No, but I came here with nobody. Like, my family sent me to Pittsburgh because I didn't have, like, they were done. Like, done with me. And I didn't have it. There was nobody left. There was just nobody. And you guys helped me move into my first apartment. And you bought me cigarettes. And you got me groceries. And you took me for coffee. And you did. And, like, you helped me raise a kid. And, I mean, were you carrying the message? Because you weren't. You carried, like, there were times people carried me. When I used the last time, the girl that's using the comb, she was clean, and she came to my house. And she wanted me to go to the meeting. And I was like, I'm not going. Like, I was literally in bed with the covers over my head. And she came upstairs and was bouncing on my bed, going, come on, because we're going. You're going. And I don't want to go. I don't care what you want. Come on. And I went. And I stayed clean that time. You know, that time that something happened. And, but what I've learned to do, because this has been, I mean, she's been using for a while, and there are a couple people in my life that have been using for a while, and what I've learned to do is, like, to do it for me. To do it so I get another day clean, and it doesn't have nothing to do with her. Like, and I don't tell her that all that shit's okay to do. I don't, that's not me either. In fact, I asked her why she likes to loaf with me, because I'm nasty to her sometimes. Just nasty. And one time I was particularly nasty, and then she asked me if I was going to a meeting, and I was like, no, you need to call somebody. Then I hung up the phone, then I felt bad and called her back, and was like, I'll pick you up in 20 minutes. Be ready. Not that. Because I was really nasty. But I meant what I said, too, and it wasn't out of hurt, it was out of love. But I have a hard time with this. I it's funny that they asked me to do this, because this is not something I'm good at all. I struggle with it in a lot of my relationships. I just asked somebody the other day, you don't like me. Like, why do you want to be around me? You obviously don't like me. Like, I evaluated my relationship a couple years ago, and it was like, on paper, what people brought to my life. Like, what do I get from people? And what was, like, I realized how sick I am in my relationship, because what a lot of people were bringing in my life was, like, somebody to take care of. Like, that was what I had at the time really surrounded myself with, was a bunch of sick people. So I got to feel well. So I got to feel like I had something to offer somebody, because I so didn't feel like that most of the time in my life. And but it changed the nature of my relationships. And while I still do look at that, I look at, you know, what the people in my life, because they say water seeks its own level. And, like, if everybody in my life is sick, then I have a problem. A real problem. And I look around sometimes and go, I got trouble now. You know, when everybody's nuts, like, why are they my friends? Okay. But my relationships got healthier, and they get healthier all the time. And I still, like I'm the person people call when they need to fill out a job application. That's me. You know what I mean? I'm the person people call when they need something looked up on the computer. And my old man gets so mad because he's like, they can have a phone book, Julie. They'll be fine. And I'm like, but it's just, it's easy for me to do. And Dennis is right. I'm denying them. Like, I'm denying them knowledge of how to do that in doing that. And, like, I have a lot of work to do in this area. I really, this was, there's other stuff I'm really good at, but this is not it. It's not, if somebody's hungry, I'm probably going to give you money for food, even though you came up and you should have known you needed shit. I forgot my flashlight. I am the adult child of an alcoholic. I have everything I need in my purse, okay, at all times. I can survive a week on that shit without moving. And I forgot a flashlight. And I got one on my phone, so I got backup. But, I don't know. I don't know. I want to thank the committee for asking me to speak because it is an honor. And I want to thank them too for all the work that goes into this because it's a lot of work that goes into stuff like this. And like people give up their Saturdays with their kids or their family or going to the pool. And like it matters to me because I'll be full when I leave here, you know, Sunday afternoon. I'll be full and like, I'll better be able to deal with the people in my life who just won't stop using or be able to better deal with that. And maybe after speaking on this, I'll, you know, do better. And then maybe not. And then, yeah. I think this is going to be the biggest process in my life. I really do. I think that this, like, learning how to take is very difficult for me because I don't feel worthy often. So, but being a giver gives you a lot of control too. So I might be that. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is I'm happy to be here. I'm happy you all are here too. And thank you.